What's happening, party people? This is the voice of Rob Streeter, one half of the Don't Flop podcast. Welcome to the show where we talk all things basketball, NBA, and all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth as only James and I can. James, how you feeling, my man? What's good?
I'm feeling good, Rob. It's been a while.
It's been a minute, but we have been constantly talking about this season. Like, just because we haven't made the noise we normally do doesn't mean we ain't watching every move that's going on. You guys can tweet the show. You can tweet at Don't Flop Podcast. That is our handle, at Don't Flop Podcast. Tweet us there. You can talk to us. You can email us, don'tfloppodcast@gmail.com. You can ask questions, offer opinions. We'll shout them out on the show. If you're listening on Anchor, call in so we can talk basketball as well. Today we are going to talk about the offseason, and I want to highlight four different situations that I think James and I sort of talked about before. I think in a lot of ways summarize what this whole offseason has meant. So, James, we're going to start with the Carmelo Anthony situation. We talked a lot about that during the season as it was ending, and we kind of all assumed the New York chapter of his career would be over, but it definitely isn't. So he wants out of the market. Did you think he'd be still on the roster by now? Did you assume, like everybody else, that he'd be traded?
I feel like Melo's situation to me is crazy because I don't even know how to really explain it, because you get a no-trade clause to kind of watches your own back, so you don't really have to worry about management doing any slime ball moves and shipping you off to Brooklyn or something stupid, throwing you out in Utah in the middle of no man's land where you're going from New York to Utah would be a hell of an experience. But I don't know. It's just very weird. I don't even really know where to begin with Carmelo's situation.
Did you think Houston was going to be a good fit for him?
No, I don't see that at all. I feel like Harden he can play off the ball, but as we saw, I've said this a couple times, he's an MVP caliber player with the ball in his hands, and he's an all-star without it. Then you have Chris Paul, who can only play with the ball in his hand. You can't even go off the ball. He's too small. And then Melo, he slows you down. He slows your offense down, and he's really only effective with the ball in his hand. So I don't think that's a great fit for him at all.
I think if Carmelo, like I think LeBron James too, if Carmelo were to change his game, what do you see is the future of Carmelo's career? Is he still a dominant scorer? Is he still someone you build an offense around? Where would you see him fitting, period? New York, Houston, anywhere? What kind of player does he need to be?
I think the days of building around Melo are over. And that's not a bad thing. I just don't think Carmelo needs to be your number one option. And I know this is going to sound like cliche. I don't want to say cliche, but Carmelo playing alongside LeBron, I think, is a good fit. Because LeBron kind of puts you in your place, so to speak. But besides that, I don't really see a great place for Melo. Anybody that needs a score, besides that, he doesn't really bring much to you. He brings his name, his fans, and that's kind of it. And besides his scoring ability, because he's not giving you a lot of rebounds. I was arguing this point, Kevin Love for Carmelo. And Kevin Love kind of offers you a little bit more. He gives you a little bit more on the boards. He's a better passer. Melo is pretty much one-dimensional. He always has been, but he was, I guess he made it look a little better because he was a little more athletic. Now he's pump faking right underneath the basket.
Scared.
Yeah, I don't know what he is. But I don't know. Melo's situation to me is kind of like a drawn out soap opera. Like, who cares anymore, honestly?
The Melo fatigue is definitely real, and I think the media even has found other more exciting stories, and they've kind of decided to truly put everything on freeze, and they say, well, as long as the New York Knicks aren't moving on him, maybe that's a dead story. I'm not sure where he'll end up in the season. I didn't expect him to still be on the roster. And this is an interesting case where the no-trade clause has really – this is why teams – almost never give out no trade clauses. This is exactly why. You know, that would be the Melo contract, because you give them the boatload of money and you say, we love you, we want you to be a Knick forever, here's the no trade clause, we'll take care of you. Then when everything goes south, he's obviously the last domino that has to fall in order for your franchise to continue on. So,
and he doesn't want to fall.
And this has been really running the whole organization into the ground. So is this situation a product of salary cap? Is this a product of just a bad fit in the first place? What turns this Melo situation sour when you talk about the movement of players during the off season, or maybe the lack thereof, because Melo can't seem to get out?
Melo's situation, I think it's kind of funny, because I feel like Phil Jackson gave him that contract and Phil Jackson's gone. I think, like you said, Carmelo is who he is. Like, his game isn't going to change next year. He's not going to all of a sudden become this like all around, get the team involved player. And his teams just haven't won. To be honest with you, if the Knicks were in playoff contention every year, I don't know if this would be an issue. But Melo's teams just don't win. So he gets that label as he's not a winner, he can't win. And then from there, it's like that snowball effect. Then the media jumps on it. Then he's doing stupid commercials, defending himself. Like, it after a while, it got pretty bad.
So we're going to stay in the East. We're not necessarily going to move completely away, but talking about New York, Kyrie Irving, there was talk he would end up in New York. People thought maybe you trade, flip Melo for Kyrie, or put a package together with Porzingis. Not really sure where Melo's going to end up, but we know where Kyrie could potentially end up, Boston. So you have the Boston-Cleveland situation. Will Isaiah Thomas get traded? Will he not get traded? So you have Kyrie, another superstar. He wants to move on from a team. It's different from the Melo situation, obviously. Kyrie doesn't have a no-trade clause. Kyrie sort of dropped the bomb on everybody, comes out and says, I want out. This is a lot different than...
He dropped the bomb, all right.
I mean, yeah, completely out of nowhere, not necessarily the complete opposite of the New York Knicks, where there's been rumors and it's cryptic tweets and it's, you know, GM versus player. It really hasn't been that public. It's sort of been the opposite. There was evidently quiet messages and meetings being sent in Cleveland. Rumor is Kyrie was supposed to be in a trade package and all these type of things. So bottom line, it's all bottomed up and come from the surface that Kyrie wants out. And they shipped him pretty quick. I mean, Hasn't been a month since, you know, I mean, 1 minute Kyrie is a Cavalier, part of the future. Next thing you know, he's in a green jersey. I mean, so strange. So when you look at the Kyrie situation, Isaiah Thomas trade, first I want to ask, are you surprised it happened so fast?
I think so. I think I was one of the people that kind of felt it was eventually just going to go, I don't want to say go away, but I feel like LeBron and Kyrie would have sat down and just kind of patched it up, if that was even an issue, if LeBron was really the issue. But it just, I guess Boston was the last place I thought he would end up. And then when it happened, it was just like, oh, shit. Like, what? So I guess I was shocked that it happened. So I guess I was just shocked that it happened, period.
What did you think would happen first, Melo getting traded or Kyrie getting traded?
I thought Melo was going to end up in Houston. And then, you know what, Matt, I thought he was either going to end up in Cleveland, to be honest with you. I thought, if anything, I thought it would have been like Kyrie for Melo and maybe, I don't even know what else the Knicks even have to give up. But I thought they would have been some sort of package to get Kyrie to New York and then Melo and a couple other pieces or a pick or whatever to Cleveland. That's what I originally thought was going to happen.
What do you think Kyrie does at this point? I mean, if you're sitting home waiting for this trade to go through, it's not likely, but your stomach's got to be sick that this trade gets vetoed and you end up back in Cleveland for a minute. I mean, it's unlikely, but if I'm Kyrie, I'm mad that this trade hasn't been signed, sealed, and shipped by now.
I got... I don't want to say an issue with Kyrie in this trade. I feel like this trade, like I said, I'm on the outside looking in, of course. But this seems like it was he demanded this based off of if he found out he was in trade rumors, and then he kind of felt like LeBron gave the okay for the trade rumor. Or the trade for him to be traded, he kind of, this is all emotion based. Like it's all emotion based.
And so Kyrie was emotional. That's why he left. Why did he want to leave?
From what I've read, he was going to be part of Cleveland was shopping him, and I guess he contributed that to, I guess, LeBron saying it was okay for him to be shopped. I'm not really sure. Like I said, I'm on the outside looking in because there's no other reason I can find that even makes sense to why he would want to leave Cleveland.
Is Cleveland that is it LeBron James is just that difficult to play with?
I don't believe
that. Could it just be as simple as that?
No.
I mean, sometimes
if Kyrie was holding Kyrie back, then I would probably like, you know what, he wants to flap his wings or he wants to fly on his own. But Kyrie was getting his. Like Kyrie was most of the time a very, very, very big part in their offense and winning the games and big play after big play. So that's what I'm saying. It just doesn't make sense. It wasn't like he wasn't getting his, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was definitely getting his.
What if Kyrie wanted to be the best player on the team now? What if he's like, yo, I was the number one overall pick too. I was picked first in the draft too. You know what I mean? What if he wants to be the best player on the team?
That's emotion based. Like, that's an emotion. I'm better. I want to be the guy. I want to be the man. That's an emotion. Like, that's just weird to me.
So,
like, it's just, I, you know what it is? I guess I don't look, Kyrie doesn't come off as that type of person to me. I feel like he's a humble kid, quiet kid, funny kid. So hearing him just like, man, I want to be the man. I'm the number one. I was the number one pick too.
I think he's respectful, but I think low key he has that I want to be the best attitude. If you look at him and all the All-Star games he's been in, he shows out. with that, you know, I was the other day I was watching.
It's not
a
hard
clip
to
him.
Show out an All-Star game nowadays.
Nah, man. Well, I think low key, I think Kyrie really does want to be like Kobe. I think he wants 5 or 6 rings and wants to be that man. I think he really does. And I think actions speak louder than words. Kyrie would have every excuse in the world to defer to LeBron in those finals and not take that final shot. He has, he would have had every right, because he could have said, "Hey, yo, LeBron, look, it's 4 seconds left. It's LeBron time, isn't it?" He could have totally did that.
No.
He stepped up. He stepped up.
I know,
up,
and that's
so.
The thing. Like, if LeBron was taking those shots, if LeBron was, like, that's what I'm saying. LeBron, to me, in my opinion, never really stepped on his toes. Like, he never overstepped that, "Oh, I'm taking this shot," or "I'm doing this, I'm doing that." Like, Kyrie always got his off. Like, he hit multiple game winners, big shots, big threes, momentum shifts, shots, layups, like, so it was just weird to me how all of a sudden he wanted nothing to do with Cleveland, and LeBron James was all of a sudden his worst enemy. It made sense that he thought LeBron wanted him traded, and then I could see him acting out off of emotion, which is still weird because the NBA is a business. Like, a cold-blooded business at that.
That part. I mean, you want to talk. I mean, you have a situation like, okay, so you have the Melo situation, you have Kyrie situation. You want to talk about running businesses and petty stuff like that, like even with the Paul George situation. So, I mean, is he going to win in LA? I don't know. I mean, is he
going to
end up
in
LA? I mean, that's something where it doesn't feel like he's in control of his own destiny. He should be.
No.
You know, I think in essence, him saying he wants to go to L.A. really puts all of his cards out on the table, but he doesn't control his destiny because he's talking about it so much. Now he's putting that opportunity in jeopardy. They're actually, I mean, will that collusion, anti-trade stuff really go down? I don't know. But he is kind of messing up his whole scheme there. I mean, I don't know what legally, what kind of actions the Pacers can take, but I mean, I guess they already lost him. I mean, what does the Thunder have to do with all this? Because the Thunder have Paul George now. It's almost like he's not even on their roster right now. Like, they're renting him for 1 year.
Yeah, nobody talks about it. It's not a big deal.
I mean, I wonder if he leaves. Does he go? Does he stay? What if he stays? I mean, and quite honestly, when you think about the whole Thunder situation and Russell Westbrook making that leap without Kevin Durant, I wonder if he takes a bit of a step back. Does he continue on? I mean, I think Kyrie will take a similar leap forward in production.
No way.
Kyrie starts dropping 30 a game. Kyrie's stats go up. Kyrie starts averaging 32 points a game, 8 assists.
I give Kyrie no. I give him 31 points a game, about 5 assists, 2 to 3 rebounds. Kyrie does not have the ability to be a Russell Westbrook. He doesn't have. He's not built like that.
Oh,
no way.
Are you serious? You don't think Kyrie can easily get 30 and 8?
No. I'll give him 30 and 6, not 30 and 8.
You guys really don't think Kyrie's a passer, do you?
I've watched Kyrie his whole life. Not his whole life, but the majority of his career. Kyrie is not a playmaker for other people. When Kyrie starts breaking you down, it's for his one-on-one purpose.
When he gets this real squad of NBA talent around him to run a show where he can be the playmaker. He's not
We've
a shooting
seen
guard
Kyrie
to LeBron.
Run his own
no,
show.
No, you see no. You see the LeBron James featuring Kyrie Irving show.
What happened when Kyrie was in Cleveland by himself and LeBron was at Miami?
Oh my! Are you for real? Who did he have? Name three players he played with.
I don't know. That's not the question. I'm saying.
That is the question. You're saying where was he when he was a rookie?
To
when
get
he had
an assist.
Three biscuits
to,
and
to get an assist
on his squad.
To get an assist, you pass a person the ball and they make a shot. So the excuse is everybody on his team is horrible. So he couldn't get an assist. What about LeBron? How does LeBron average almost 9 to 10?
I just want everybody to for the Don't Flop podcast to see that. we just broke down what an assist was, if you didn't know. Listen, man,
No.
So who's a better – okay, no, I'm not
– All right, hold on, not to cut you off. You just said Kyrie wants to be Kobe Bryant, right? He wants to take
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No.
You said he
I
wants
said Kobe
to take
mentality.
On that Kobe mentality. What's Kobe's mentality?
Lead his team to victory no matter what and get this dub. If that means he's surrounded by
Kobe's
a bunch of biscuits.
What is Kobe's on-court mentality?
If he's surrounded by a bunch of biscuits, then he'll shoot 80 shots if he has to. But when he has Gordon Hayward, when he has Al Horford, when he has Jason Tatum, when he's got Morris twin there.
Marcus
when he has, that's what I was trying to figure out. Do they still have Marcus Smart?
Yeah, he's still there.
That's right. They traded Avery Bradley. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a squad, and listen. Let's not pretend that Tyronn Lue mm-hmm. is a better coach than Brad Stevens.
No, he's not.
I like Tyronn Lue a lot, and
cool.
I think for the team that he had, he was a better coach for that situation. When you have a team full of big egos, you need somebody who's used to managing egos. And when you play your whole career playing with Kobe, you know a thing or two about and Phil Jackson. You know a thing about big egos. So I can see where Tyronn Lue fits that kind of team, but. When you had Brad Stevens, who I wasn't sure how was going to pan out, but he all of a sudden turns a bunch of, role players into the Eastern Conference contender. I think I like his system. And I think if you translate that system.
Kyrie's
they had
game
a deep,
into his system?
Man, Kyrie will have all the weapons he needs. He'll be given the keys to the franchise. You will see an even better Kyrie Irving. I'm telling you, 31-8 is not it shouldn't even
so
be
what
the
you're
ceiling
saying
for
is
him.
Kyrie is going to be the MVP of the NBA.
I think Kyrie Irving could win MVP next season.
What time is it? We're hearing it here first.
It's 9:58.
I'll put it in
on
the book,
August
Robbie. August
30th. I'm writing it down. August 30th. 9:58. Kyrie MVP. Bet on that. Don't Fly Podcast.
MVP.
You heard it first. Rob Streeter, Don't Fly Podcast. Check us out on Twitter and Anchor, all that stuff. Now, we're going to wrap this up a little bit, kind of circle back to the different mentalities, different situations in this offseason, sort of comparing everything together. Now, a star that we've heard from recently who normally doesn't talk a lot is Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose has talked about a lot, but he himself doesn't put a lot out for us to digest, for us to nitpick. We find ways to do it on our own. A lot of Knicks fans, me included, were nervous about how this offseason for Derrick Rose would pan out. For those of you unaware, in this previous season, Derrick Rose was actually believed to want to stay in New York with a large max contract deal extension. So that gave the media ammo to call him greedy, to call him...
You know what's crazy? You know what's really crazy about that? If somebody can show me the article or the interview where he said he wants a max contract with New York, that'd be cool because I don't think I ever saw him say that. I heard him say that 2 years ago, when he said the NBA is throwing around a lot of money, and I want to get in on that. But last year, I don't think he said a word about a max contract in New York. What? I could be wrong.
And I think that's what makes maybe this last type of situation going on that we've seen play out this offseason is maybe arguably the most interesting, because Melo, very publicly, all of his business has been out there. He's in front of New York cameras all the time. His life's pretty much all out there. Kyrie Irving, same thing. He makes himself available. Isaiah Thomas, we're all getting to learn about him and his personal life and the star he's become. We all know his story. 60th pick mm-hmm. to All-Star. Paul George, we've had a personal touch into his life, his recovery, so we know who these characters are. But Derrick Rose is arguably the most polarizing out of all of those. Maybe as polarizing as LeBron James. When you look at what people say on social media back and forth, that's one thing I've learned being a part of this anchor community and all that stuff, and Twitter, interacting with different sports fans, getting a pulse for the Derrick Rose. Those two words, for some reason, are like lightning. It's crazy. And he quietly signed with the Cavaliers. We talked about it. He never really said too much about it. He just went about it. You see the pictures. They start working out. He took a veteran's minimum, $2 million, after everybody assumed he was after $32 million.
A year.
Exactly. So all of these sort of other players are shuffling themselves around, making it very known where they want to go, their displeasure, their drama, their opinions. And then we have Derrick Rose here, who is actually arguably the quietest of them all, but still gets the same type of attention and misconstrued story. So he was able to set the record straight recently, talking to the Associated Press. And it's really interesting, the words he chose to use. He said people think that he's cocky, relentless, unruly, but that's not who he believes himself to be. And having the career he's had with the ups and downs, I think at this point in his career, he's learning to really tune them out. And he's really focused just on basketball now.
Gotta be.
What has this D-Rose situation, his negotiation and the rest of his career, where do you see D-Rose's career going from here? Does he get that ring? You were very vocal about how excited you were. Are you still as excited?
Oh, yes. You want to talk about MVPs next year? It's like, nah.
He got one already. Let my man Kyrie get one.
Nah, no thank you. I'm always excited to watch him play. Like, he's probably the only person to still be able to get me out of my seat at home. I still get excited to watch Derrick Rose play. I just hope he stays healthy. He's in a winning environment, and I think that'd be healthy enough for him just to get that good, that mental part of the game. When you're in you're on a winning team, you're playing with LeBron James, Kevin Love, like you're playing with good guys. So I'm hoping that part plays a big, big, big part in him just having fun. Just get back to having fun. Like, forget all the injuries and the BS talk. Just get back to having fun again, and I think he'll be fine.
You read the Derrick Rose article. What were your thoughts on it?
I loved it. It really didn't – I didn't know he played tennis. But besides that, I knew most of the stuff, and it's kind of like refreshing to hear. Like, he's still the same Derrick Rose he was when he first came in the league. Quiet kid, loves his family, just wants to enjoy his friends. And he's like the same – person. You don't really see much with his name involved in it. He's not on Twitter. He's not on Instagram. He's like, it's cool when an interview does pop up, you get to read it. And it's good to see he hasn't changed. All this money, all the injuries, all the BS that's surrounding him, he's still the same dude. And for me, that's big.
Do you love or hate the fact that he's very vocal that his priorities are slightly different than others, not necessarily as aligned with shoe deals and hashtag strive for greatness, but more so just about his family and what he can do for them?
I personally love it because, like I've shouted and ranted a million times, like, Derrick Rose is almost like a regular person playing in the NBA. And I don't want to say regular person, like he's not regular, but like he's like how we are. You go to work, you come home, you want to provide for your family, you want to provide for yourself. That's all he cares about. It's not about, oh, does my shoe have patent leather on it? Is I'm going to be in the next Pepsi commercial? Like, no, forget all that. Is my son good? Does my son have money for college? What about the mother of my child? What about my mom, my brother? Like, that is just, that's what I feel like life is. Like, we're here to, you provide for your loved ones. Like, all that other stuff is cool, but at the end of the day, shit, why wouldn't you be playing basketball for your son?
Who
That's real shit.
Who's older, Isaiah Thomas or Derrick Rose?
Isaiah Thomas, I believe. I would have to look that up, but I think Isaiah Thomas might be. Let me look that up real quick. He might.
No. They're the same age. They're both 28.
Oh, okay.
Right? I think people don't even realize that.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting how both of their careers are so different, but they're in very similar veins right now. Could be playing on the same team.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting to see how the Cavaliers handle this new look lineup. I mean, they went from 1 year of having one point guard to now they might have three different point guards that they can run and switch through and point guards that actually can produce. Will LeBron let them mm-hmm. actually play point guard is a whole other story.
Yeah.
But that's really the question that remains to be seen. Exactly. Any other pieces you'd like to see on Cleveland?
Dwayne Wade, believe it or not. And I'm not even a big Dwayne Wade fan.
Another fit, though? Another old guy who can't shoot?
Dwayne Wade's mid-range is deadly still. But for me, it's more so for your Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, if the trade goes through. It's more like since him and LeBron are like brothers, so they say, whatever. I feel like Dwayne Wade being in that locker room is huge. Like, I think that is major. Dwayne Wade averaged, what did he average, 19, 20 a game last year?
He had a season last year.
Yeah, so shit.
On the low.
I think if he came in, he would be a huge help in the locker room. He would be a huge help to the new players to get used to LeBron. Because like you said, will LeBron let you do what you want to do? And
no.
I feel like that's going to take a lot to get used to for your Derrick Roses, Isaiah Thomases, those guys that are used to being the ball handler. And Dwayne Wade could come in because Dwayne Wade has experience with saying, here, LeBron, take the keys. I'm following you now. And you win championships. So.
Well, D-Wade averaged 18, 4, and 4 last season.
That's
with a steal and a half.
That's not bad. That's not bad to be, what, 35 or where, however old he is. Shit, he can at least give you 14, 16 coming off the bench.
So wrapping all this off-season talk up, you want to see anything else happen this off-season? Any other trades you're looking at?
I want to see Melo finally do something so this shit can be over with. I don't really think that I can anything that's I'm just ready for the damn training camp and preseason to start. Like, I'm ready to see some workouts and see some people working. Like, I'm tired of the Instagram posts and the tweets and Bleacher Report articles and everyone doing an interview. Like, I'm tired of that crap. Like, I want to see people putting in some work.
You ready to see some? You ready to see some basketball?
Yeah, like this. I feel like this shit's been. And the more trades that's happened, the more I'm excited to see it. So it feels like it's taking forever. Like, I want to see Derrick Rose in a Cleveland uniform in a winning environment on a winning team, and that's all. Like, I want to see everybody stay healthy this year. I don't want any excuses. No bullshit.
People, this has been our time. This is the Don't Flop podcast. We just went in for a good, cool 30 minutes on the off season. There's more to come. It's not quite over yet. Season starts in less than 2 months, month and a half. We are counting down. Make sure you follow along with us on Twitter at Don't Flop Podcast, anchor.fm here, Don't Flop Podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. New content every single day. Email us at Gmail, Don't Flop Podcast. This is Rob Streeter, one half. James, say peace out to the people.
Peace out to the people.
And we gone.
Yes, sir.